Peace, party people. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021. And this is episode 114 of Where My Killer Tape At. And the first episode of the new year. I'm going to do a slight departure than the way I normally start things. I'm going to give you the top 10 streaming shows of 2020. Word is born. And check it out. It's going to be spoiler free. Word. Killer Tape At, B. For this episode of Where My Killer Tape At, shout out to the Barrel House because they always bless your boy. I'm sipping on Land Grant. It's located in Columbus, Ohio, Land Grant Brewing Company. I'm drinking their High Seas Punch Double Dry Hop Double IPA. So yes, it sounds very good. It is very good. It does taste like High C. It doesn't use like hardcore sugar though. Like it uses pineapple, guava, apple and mango and orange. So like, yeah, it's dope, man. Like it tastes so good and it goes down real smooth. Shout out to the Barrel House once again. Word. Just real quick, just wanted to add before we start, as I was recording these pieces for this episode, there was an attempted coup at the U.S. Capitol this past week. I know a lot of people who said this was going to happen. My partner predicted this, and I ignored her, much to my detriment. But white mob violence, once again, United States of America, the history of that of this country is of white mob violence. I was wondering whether I should do just the next episode should be about that and its ramifications, but what I realize is that I've always taken the habit of when something happens, give it a little bit and then digest it and then talk about it. There's still information coming out. Some of it is more sinister than we assumed. So I kind of want to wait a little bit longer. At the same time, there are other people who are doing much better coverage of it than I would can ever imagine. There are other podcasts that are really discussing it and breaking down what it means much better than I could ever imagine. So I recommend finding other podcasts that do that. And I felt that what I should be doing is I should be doing episodes that kind of help people take their mind off of it. Because I know during the pandemic, there was a lot of podcasts that dealt with things, geek culture, things of that nature that kept my mind off of what was going on, all the madness in the world. So I kind of want to do the same thing. So that's what I decided to do for this episode. And the next episode, I probably will not talk about it until probably the third episode of 2021. So I hope you guys forgive me for that. But it is my podcast and I can do what I want. Okay, so why are you doing the best streaming joints of 2020? Why not the best movies? Okay, here we go. I didn't do the best movies because I didn't see a lot of movies that were released in 2020. I saw a lot of movies that were released in 2019, but I didn't see a lot of movies that were released in 2020. Oh, I didn't feel like I saw enough for me to give a top 10. But I did watch a lot of joints that were streamed, series on different platforms that were streamed in 2020, like a lot. Like there's some that I forgot that I watched. So I felt like this is a good idea because we're still in the pandemic. I know earlier I made a reference, but we're still in the pandemic and there's still stuff. There are some cities that don't have any movie theaters that are open. Especially if you're like, you live in like New York or California. And then if you are, they're at 30% capacity. So a lot of us were stuck at home watching streaming joints. And for some reason, I just didn't want to pay $5. I don't know why. I mean, I was willing to go to the movie theater with the entire family to watch a movie, but I'm not willing to pay $5 extra to sit on my in front of my 50-inch screen TV to watch a movie. I know that sounds kind of productive. Anyway, here is the criteria for the best streaming joints. So it had to be released in 2020, or it had to have a season released in 2020. You know what I'm saying? So, for example, Cobra Kai didn't make this series, this top 10, because the original episodes were released in 2018 and 2019. And then Netflix bought it out from YouTube, and they didn't release season 3 until 2021. So that's why Cobra Kai is not on this top 10. I know a lot of people are going to be mad at it. I'm going to give it an honorable mention, though. You know what I'm saying? But that's just one of the criteria that it had to be on this list. So let's start this thing. So we're going to start off with number 10, The Undoing, which was released on HBO Max last year. And the showrunner for The Undoing is Suzanne Beer. And it stars Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. And let me just say this, like, Nicole Kidman is like stellar. She's a stellar actor. So like they had to find somebody to like match it. And I never would have imagined Hugh Grant. But the only issue that I have with this story is that it's only like 6 episodes. And I mean, they couldn't have made it longer. Like with the way the story ended, it couldn't have made it longer. But what I loved is that, you know, they released the first 4 episodes like that 1 week. No, the first 3 episodes that 1 week, and then every week they added another episode to make it a total of 6 episodes. Every week, you know, everybody was like trying to figure out who the actual murderer is. So there's a man, he played by Hugh Grant. He's cheating on his wife with this younger woman. Who all their children go to the same school, and she's a beautiful young woman, young parent, and she's murdered. So it's pretty much a whodunit. And of course, Hugh Grant gets accused of it because he is having an affair with her that nobody else knew. There's a lot of twists in it. I thought it was one person. I didn't think it was him. I thought it was one person. Someone else thought it was another person. Like, so there was always that debate. And they always threw these curveballs at you that threw you off. They threw these little tidbits of information that made you say, oh, you know what? I don't think he did it. Somebody else did it. So it was really good how they did it. And again, stellar acting by Nicole Kidman. There's a lot of questions that I was just like, wait a second. Did this happen? But it was really good. Just great writing. Great acting. Great pacing. And I just, you know, it's just amazing, just really dope. And I made number 10. Number 9 was one that was released on Hulu called Little Fires Everywhere. And the showrunner for that was Liz Tigelar. I might be mispronouncing that, Tigelar. But anyway, it stars the wonderful Kerry Washington and Reese Witherspoon. Oh my God, like Kerry Washington, I know people joke on her facial expressions, but I like her in this because unlike Scandal, because you know, Scandal, she was the protagonist. But here, Carrie just really like expressed her acting through a lot of just her facial expression, her body language. And I thought that's very hard to pull off, man. A lot of people, even actors that have been in the game for a while, they can't pull it off, right? Because, you know, acting is dialogue, right? And expressing that dialogue. But got to give it to Reese Witherspoon, who got her Karen on. I mean, she really got a Karen on in this one. Like, yo, she really did her thing. It was an impressive, everybody that's in here, all the child actors, like they all did their thing. Like everybody in here, like played their part. Even, man, it was just really dope all along. A lot of plot twists, a lot of curveballs thrown at you. And it's just really, really dope. Especially when they get into the story of Kerry Washington's character, when they get into her story, you're just like, wow, it's really interesting. The next one is, on Amazon, and it's a lot of people missed this. This is more like a comedy. It's called Upload. And the showrunner was Greg Daniels. It stars Robbie Amell, and who's homie's little brother from Green Arrow, and somebody I never heard before. Her name is Andy Allo, and you know what? Chris Williams, the comedian, he plays her father in this, and he Yo, I've never seen him in a serious role. And he does it, man. And then shout out to her partner, Zaynab Johnson, another comedian, and she just does her thing. Anyway, Upload is like the comedy version of Altered Carbon, right? Where you can upload your consciousness into like Second Life. It's like Second Life, but for real, right? So imagine you can upload your consciousness into a program, Second Life, and you can continue to live there. And they have people that are like customer service people in real life, and they kind of like watch you and stuff like that. Anyway, it's a subscription. You got to pay for it. And the main character, he is someone who is trying to create a program like Upload, but it's free and it's, you know, it's open source. So, of course, he's killed and he realized that he's murdered. So he's trying to figure that out. Again, it's supposed to be funny, you know, like a dark comedy. I think what really, really brought me in was that when he goes to the Upload program, his next door neighbor is one of the Koch brothers, you know, who died, and he's just like giving them advice. And I thought that was very interesting. So those are the, you know, the first three, number 10, Undoing, number 9, Little Fires Everywhere, and then finally Upload. Next one up is Queen Sono. This one was on Netflix. And this is the considered the first Netflix original series. Now, Netflix, they buy a lot of series and movies from overseas. Not buy, let me take that back. They stream a lot of stuff from overseas. And then they'll claim it as it's Netflix. But this is actually the first series in Africa, particularly South Africa, where Netflix actually does the production and the filming and all of that. So it was a Netflix production done in South Africa. It's the first one in Africa. And the creator of this show is Kagiso Ladiga, and it stars the gorgeous Pearl Tusi. And it also has the homie Vugo Dabula. And you probably seen Vugo, both Pearl and Vugo in a lot of stuff, a lot of different series. I know with Vugo, he stands out because he's always playing like a villain or on the bad guy side in different series that I've seen before, but I like him. And this is a spy thriller about, you know, Pearl's character. She's like this spy and in South Africa. And this is like post-apartheid. And her people's, like her mom's and like her uncle and like everybody they hung out with, they were all revolutionaries during the apartheid era. So I thought that was how they meshed that history with what's going on now is really, really dope. And she's a spy. And I mean, she's a spy. Here's a African woman who's a spy. You just don't see that, you know. Well, let me take that back, because I don't live in the continent, so I can't really speak on what they're showing over there. But I know here in the United States, you just don't see that. The production was great. The action is amazing. The acting is dope. The costumes are everything. I mean, from A to Z, this is what you can do with a budget that's not astronomical. You can still do dope stuff, produce a dope product with dope actors and everything. Just the pacing was well. I enjoyed it. I'm sad that they didn't continue it for season two, because they got good ratings for season one. Mind you, Netflix hasn't released their numbers, but the rumor has it that it did very well. And they're not going to do with season two. And they were saying because of COVID and the drawbacks there. So I don't know what the situation is. I don't know if it's political or not. But I'm really sad that they didn't renew it for a second season, because it deserved it. A lot of people are going to be mad about this ranking. But I'm going to go with number six. It's going to be The Boys Season 2. I was a fan of the comic by Garth Ennis. Big, big fan. I enjoyed it. Me and my oldest enjoyed it. And to be honest, I remember telling him, I never thought I would see this as a TV series. I told him I would like this. There's two shows that I told him. We had this conversation where we said we would never see it as a series. That would be Preacher, right? Which is a series, right? On FX, I believe. And then Boys, which is on Amazon. And I get it. I think Amazon did a good job because, you know, Warner Brothers has DC. Well, HBO does now, right? Warner Brothers has DC, and Disney has the MCU, has Marvel. So you got to kind of like get everybody else's in between. Not saying that they're bad, because Image makes a lot of dope stuff. And I remember Boys was on one comic imprint, and then they got discontinued in another comic imprint, but I want to say Dynamite bought them out. Anyway, the showrunner is Eric Kripke. It stars Carl Urban, who just does a great job. Jack Quaid is in it. And in this season, what I like is that Laz Alonso came out in it. Now, let me just say this. You could tell that the budget was spent on season one. Because on season two, they didn't really have a lot of action. It had a lot, but not as much as season one. So I don't think it's as strong as season one. I appreciate they put Laz Alonso up to the front. I'm going to say this. They made a decision in season one at the end that I felt like they shouldn't have done that reveal because then it's difficult to write that in. And I think the writing in season two wasn't as great as that in season one. I know a lot of people did not like season two, but I'm in love with the characters and I want to see them succeed. So that's why I stuck with it. So I ranked that at number six. Number five, of course, is going to be The Umbrella Academy. I never read the Dark Horse comics for it. I'm actually going to go back and read it. But season one was okay. But season two, and by the way, the showrunner is Jeremy Slater. And it stars Elliot Page, Tom Hopper, David Castaneda, Emmy Raven LaPon, who had a really big scene. Because in the first season, she didn't seem like she had a lot. Robert Sheehan and then Aiden Gallagher, that young man, like, he's gonna be big time. It's crazy how you have this young boy. He's supposed to be playing somebody who's in his 40s, but he's in the body of the 13-year-old. So it's really just wild to watch him do his thing. Some of it is disturbing, I'm not gonna lie, but Umbrella Academy season two was stronger. That's why I kind of ranked it above The Boys. Also, I love period pieces. And this one takes place right before the assassination of JFK and the events leading up to it. They actually, like, meet up with Lee Harvey Oswald. It's really, really, really dope. Here we go for number four, Netflix. I'm going to say this about Netflix. Like, it seems like Netflix just throws everything up at everybody, right? And then, you know, with the exception of like the big budget stuff, they throw everything at you and they see what sticks. But what I will say about Netflix is and they beat everybody in this category. They beat Hulu. They beat HBO Max. Yes, I said it. They beat all those streaming companies when it comes to their documentary series. They like really have some great documentary. Matter of fact, I'm going to have to do like a top 10 Netflix documentary series because they do a really, really good job. I've seen stuff on that I'm like, man, you know, I've looked at stuff on Netflix that I was like, I don't know about this. And I watched it and just been hooked. And I'm just like, man. And Tiger King is one of those things, right? Here is a gay redneck who runs an illegal zoo. Like, you can't, like, how is that going to be bad? You know, how is that, you know? And everybody was hooked. Mind you, it was released in the beginning of the pandemic. Well, I'm going to say not the beginning of the pandemic, but when the United States, when many states in the United States began to recognize COVID as a problem, and there was a lot of stay-at-home orders. I know it came at the cusp of that. So that party led to how many people went and watched it. But it really took everybody by storm. And that's not to say, because some of the joints that are on here, if we didn't have a pandemic, probably would have never made the list. Not because they're bad, it's because there's just so much stuff out there. And there's some things that you overlook. But the pandemic made us look at things that we normally don't look at. So some will argue that Tiger King is reality TV and a lot of people don't watch reality TV. I saw this documentary series, but it's really good. It gets you hooked. They're actually going to make a movie based on this series. And I'm really into, I don't think there's going to be a season two. What I see happening is spinoffs to the different characters that are on here. Like I do see a spinoff of Carol Baskins. And unfortunately, Carol Baskins comes off as the villain in all of this, even though she is one of the many villains in it. She's not the worst one, but she's one of them in there. I could see a spinoff for her, especially after she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. And then if Tiger King ever gets out of jail anytime soon, I see him returning for another series. So, but it'll probably be called something else. But man, it was a hit. I recommend it. Some graphic stuff in there, but it made number four. Number three, and this is a late entry. And this was originally filmed on Cinemax, and then HBO took it over, and it's found on the HBO Max. Highly recommend it. The second season finished last year, 2020, is Warrior. Oh my God. I mean, oh my God. Like, I cannot talk enough about this. The showrunner for this is Jonathan Tropper. It stars Andrew Koji, Olivia Chang, and Jason Tobin. And let me say this, man. There are actors in here that I've never seen before in my life, but now I want to know who they are. Great writing. It's a period piece. It takes place in the 1870s San Francisco, right before the Chinese Exclusion Act is passed. So it's a period piece, again, near and dear to my heart. I love it, love it, love it. What happened is, before he passed away, and I know everybody knows, Bruce Lee was working on a TV series, and he had an idea, and what he pitched became Kung Fu, right? But they didn't hire him; they hired somebody else, right? So he wrote some other stuff, but he never really like fleshed it out. It was just a bunch of notes. His daughter Shannon Lee had it, and she presented it to somebody, and they said, "Let's make this." So the main character Assam, played by Andrew Koji, his character is Bruce Lee. That is Bruce Lee. He's just more sarcastic. He has a smarter mouth. And he is hot-headed. So that is Bruce Lee playing this person back in the 1870s. Oh, my God. I just can't. The costumes are great. The acting is great. The choreography is great. My issue with that one show on Netflix, Badlands, my issue with that is that they relied too much on Wire Fu. I did not like that because it really cheapened the choreography. I'm not a fan of Wire Fu. I'm not saying you don't use it. I'm just saying don't overuse it. And then some of the characters there were just too fantastical. Anyway, it takes place in San Francisco. There's ethnic tensions between the Irish and Chinese immigrants that are coming in. Just the same story again. A lot of the business owners, contractors are using cheap Chinese labor and they're making the Irish people unemployed. So there's that racial tension, not just focusing on San Francisco, but across the country as well. But the choreography is amazing. I cannot speak enough about this show. You have to watch it. And the only reason why it's not number one is because there were two shows that were just better than that. The one holding the number two slot, of course, is Disney Plus's Mandalorian. Man, what could I say that cannot be said about this? Jon Favreau is the showrunner. Pedro Pascal as the star. Like, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. You know, Disney, they pulled out all stops. They got the best directors to do each episode. I mean, you just cannot go wrong with the budgeting. Nothing looked cheap. Everything looked great. It's a TV series that looks like it was done on a movie budget. So I just want you to see that. I can see down the line when COVID is over, I can see down the line movie theaters showing this in the theater because it has that movie quality, even in my 50-inch screen. It really has that. And again, they're going to make a whole bunch of spinoffs from this show. I cannot talk enough about this show. And the reason why it's not number one, because there was something even better.
Yeah. I think Prince should run first. I think Prince should run first.
Okay, so for the number one, you want to get a drum roll for that? It is going to be HBO Max's Lovecraft Country. I know a lot of people are going to be mad about that. They'll be like, how could it beat The Mandalorian? There's a reason why. For me, number one is a historical piece. You know, I love those things. The showrunner is the mighty, mighty Misha Green, who used to do, I can't remember the name of that series that Hulu has it now. It's about the Underground Railroad. Underground. It's called Underground. And that's a period piece as well. And it stars Jonathan Majors, who's been in a lot of stuff last year and the year before that. And just the dope-ass Journey Smollett. That whole family, they all can act. All of them can act, right? They just all can act. Ever since they were kids. Anyway, it's based off the book by Matt Ruff, which is called Lovecraft Country. And I love the fact that much of it takes place in the Northeast and in Chicago, because it throws away that idea, that myth that there was only like Jim Crow and sundown towns in the South. But no, they were all over the country, brothers. They're all over the country party people. I'm trying to tell you that right now. And black folks face hard racism all over the country, not just in the South. So it really destroys that myth. So, the costumes were great. The soundtrack was dope. This also was a series that was genre bending. Like, it was difficult to explain it without giving away stuff to people. And I know there's a lot of memes online that people were saying, you know, what is it about? Let me say this. It is fantasy, science fiction, historical fiction. drama, fantasy. Did I say fantasy already? It's just all that wrapped in one. Everything was just, the pacing was great. And let me just say this. If you read the book, it deviates from the book tremendously. And I know that I'm a continuity hack, right? But they actually, in the series, they actually explain why that is. I thought that was really dope how they did it. Like, they just, it just, you had to just pay attention. You really have to pay attention to the show. There's something that you really, really, really got it. There's a lot of, I'm not going to say Easter eggs, but there's this, the way they weave the plot and add everything together. You got to pay attention. But there's 10 strong episodes. They, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like Watchmen, the series. Like, it's something that it was one solid season. You just need one solid season for. It was just that good. Like, it was just that satisfying. It was horror as well, by the way. Let me just say, there's some moments where you're going to jump out your seat. But the best of 2020, that it has to be hands down. I know there's going to be some debates. I'm a Star Wars fan. I've been a Star Wars fan since I was 4 years old. So, but I'm going to say this right now. Lovecraft Country is number one, the number one on this list. And I will sit down and debate anybody for that. And and it's funny because I know people that's not into sci-fi or fantasy. They're not into any of that stuff. And they loved it. I know people that, you know, because I feel like Lovecraft Country has something for everyone. Let me just say this. It's not something that you should have the babies around, because there's a lot of stuff in there they don't need to be seen. So I don't recommend it. Whereas a Mandalorian, you can actually have the babies around for that. So I don't recommend Lovecraft Country. My youngest was 14 and he watched it. So he enjoyed it. But he's into fantasy, so he loved it, and horror as well. But I think 13 to 14 is where it's age appropriate. Anything below that, I wouldn't recommend it, because there's some really heavy stuff in there, some real, real heavy stuff. We had some great discussions after we watched it. It was just amazing. So, again, Lovecraft Country is number one. You heard it here first, and where my killer tape at? Word. For this episode of Where My Killer Tape At, I definitely want to shout out the homie Misty Creates for sending me freshly baked cookies through the mail. I appreciate you for that and being a dope friend of the show. Shout out to all my babies who watch a particular streaming show with me, and they're pretty much what made this episode happen. And then shout out to my homie Quanjo, who always brings me dope discussions about Black liberation and capoeira. And yes, we are going to bring him back on the show. Word. There you have it, party people. Another episode of Where My Killer Tape At. The first one for the year 2021. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to continue the discussion online, you could do so using the hashtag Where My Killer Tape At. Killer spelled K-I-L-L-A. And if you want to get a hold of me, you could just go to the website omisbench.com. That's O-M-I-S bench as in writersbench.com. If you just want to hit me up and say what's up, you can do so in two ways. The official Twitter of the podcast is at Omi's Podcast, O-M-I-S Podcast, or just at Dantresomi, D-A-N-T-R-E-S-O-M-I. Do me a favor, man. Buy a coffee mug, man, and support the show. The link will be in the show notes, man. I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all, and I see y'all soon. Wear your mask, man, and be safe.